It's The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Hey. Yeah, it was not a great time to be it was not a great time to be at away, but it was, you know, it was good.
Well, we survived. Although I think we gave Lois a hard time.
Maybe well, that's just good. A little bit.
Okay, we did.
There's nothing wrong with
giving
Lois.
She can hold her own. She held up well for somebody who was, you know, we were making fun of and picking on.
Well, it's good to talk a little community.
Well, you
theater.
Weren't here to pick on, and no. Brandon is just tired of my picking on him, so I had to pick on somebody else.
Well, I think Monday I was just tired.
You were just tired. Yeah, you were just a little
savings.
Daylight
you're,
savings.
You're a college student. We expect you to be a little tired. Mm-hmm. Well, this morning on the phone, I have a guest, and it's interesting. He's an interesting fellow anyway, but...
I'm assuming because they're on the phone, this is not a local guest.
This is not a local guest. Actually, this one's coming from my home sweet town of Greenville, Illinois, of all places.
Oh, the land of Lincoln.
The land of Lincoln, yes. John Goldsmith is with us on the phone. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. How are you there in sunny Florida?
Well, it is sunny, but a little on the chilly side, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to hear the fact that it's 46 here now.
48.
So, 48, sorry. Yes. 48.
What's it like there in sunny Illinois?
It's actually probably in the low 40s, so we're not too far apart.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there you go. But that's like a heat wave for y'all there. we're breaking out the winter jackets here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently this does feel like a heat wave.
John is in charge of the curator and really the guy who started a museum in my hometown of Greenville, Illinois, called the DeMolin Museum. John, tell us a little bit about the museum.
Well, it's one of those places that's hard to describe. It needs to be seen to be believed. The museum was founded in 2010, and it's dedicated to a local factory in Greenville, but has a much far-reaching impact. It's the DeMolin Brothers and Company factory, and they are today one of the leading manufacturers of marching band uniforms in the world. They've been around for now 126 years. So if you were a marching band member sometime in the last 100 plus years, there's a good chance that you may have worn a band uniform made by this company. For about 60 years, they also manufactured graduation caps and gowns and church choir robes. And they did church and lodge furniture. But probably the thing that they're best known for in a lot of circles and what has gained the museum's notoriety are the lodge initiation devices they made over their first about 30 years.
We would more appropriately maybe call those some hazing devices that they made over the years.
Yeah, it took the concept of hazing and really lifted it to a new level, to say the least.
They're definitely some interesting items you have there.
So when I was a freshman, the beanie I had to wear on campus came from you guys? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, no, no.
No, you didn't do that? No, okay.
The devices are a little more advanced than a beanie.
Oh, okay. Well, that was all the hazing I was ever subjected to, was wearing a beanie with a little propeller on it.
Oh, well, you need to come to the museum. We'll definitely give you an initiation you won't forget.
Well, and John, you and I had talked about this before. I mean, one of the reasons that it means something here, we are in the transition period here in Northwest Florida as our snowbirds are heading north. You are indeed north because your temperatures are much colder. And you get a lot of folks from out of state visiting this museum. I mean, this is not just a local thing, is it?
No, it's pretty amazing, Scott. Over the 8 years that we've been open, we've had visitors from over 40 states, and it's the lodge initiation devices the company made that are our draw. Let me throw a couple of names of some devices out so you'll understand that we're talking about something a little more complex than a beanie. Devices like the lifting and spanking machine, the lifting and spraying machine, the trick camera, the trick chair. They did a guillotine, they did a knife throwing board, so some pretty wacky, inspired devices, kind of a Rube Goldberg approach where the devices looked deceptively simple, but there was some mechanical genius behind them.
Yes, I'm currently looking at the De Mullen Museum online. You have a lot of images posted on Google there, and I can see now some of these devices, especially like the fake guillotine thing, which is neat, complete with a blood stain on the blade. That's pretty cute, I have to say.
And when you visit, everybody gets a ride on Wink-a-Dink the goat, right?
Yeah, the company made goats that were used in the initiations, and the goats had some interesting names. There's the bucking goat, the lowdown buck, the practical goat, the Ferris wheel goat, which is one of my favorites that you'll see at the museum. And the Ferris wheel goat is two large steel wheels, and suspended between those wheels is a goat body, and you are strapped, harnessed, blindfolded to this contraption and pushed, and you go end over end while attached to the Ferris wheel goat. So this is some pretty wacky stuff that was used by fraternal lodges, groups like Woodmen of the World, Modern Woodmen of America, the Odd Fellows, Knights of Pythias, Improved Order of Red Men, all of these fraternal organizations that were so popular around the turn of the century up through around World War I.
Very good. We're talking with John Goldsmith this morning of the De Mullen Museum in Greenville, Illinois. We're going to talk more about that and how, if you know, you're making a trip anywhere, actually, how you can stop by and check out the museum and some other interesting facts about it, including a very famous person that, well, I think is famous anyway, who has had a little bit of a connection to your museum. You're listening to The Mix. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got some Chicago on the other side of the break here on 90.7 WKGC. That's Chicago on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station in HD. It's 922, and on the phone lines with us this morning, I'm going back to my hometown. At least I think that's where you are, John. John Goldsmith from the De Mullen Museum in Greenville, Illinois, which is a teeny tiny place up there that I hail from, Mr. Hoots.
Yes.
Well, you ever been there?
Nice air guitar, by the way, both of you.
Thank you.
I'm stuck in a room with two people who play excellent air guitar. I have a question for this. What is this? There seems to be part of a skeleton sticking up out of a wooden table. The skeleton appears to be smoking a stogie or something. Maybe some wax dripping off the skull. Could we get an explanation of just exactly what I'm looking at your museum there?
That is the De Mullen Pledge Altar, and we might mention that we do have a website, demolinmuseum.org. We're also on Facebook under De Mullen Museum, and we also have an Instagram account for De Mullen Museum, and so we post a lot of photos from tours, new artifacts that we may obtain, and if you're trying to visualize the things that we're talking about on the air this morning, you can check out one of those. But that's the pledge altar, and the way it works is the gentleman who is being initiated into the lodge would be kneeling at the pledge altar, taking his oath to the lodge, and the person administering the oath would reach down, hit a button, and when he hit that button, the head of the skeleton pops up, would shoot water in the guy's face, and the eyes would glow.
That's pretty cool.
It is truly a bizarre looking device, I'll tell you. That was I had just Googled your museum, and these are all Google images, and there's hundreds and hundreds of images have been posted to the Google from your museum. Including you guys, you seem to have some sort of fixation with goats too. I'm not really sure what that is, but I figured it was just, you know, Illinois has long winters or something, but there's some kind of fixation with goats going on there.
Yeah, the goat was a big part of the initiation. The company made about 10 different styles of these goats. And if you think about the mechanical bulls that were so popular about 30 years ago in every roadside country bar, the De Mullen company had a similar approach with these goats. The guy being initiated into the lodge is blindfolded, given a goat ride, and depending on how the goat was made, it would do something different. But essentially, we either toss him off or spin him around. And they made so many of them in the early years that locally, De Mullen's was known as the Goat Factory in Greenville. And this period that we're talking about with all of the crazy initiation devices lasted from 18. 1992 through roughly 1930. After 1930, the company got out of making those things. But again, it's the calling card for the museum. We've got about 20 different initiation devices in our collection. It's what, as you've alluded to, is a very visual thing, and so it lends itself well to photos. It also lends itself well to television, and we've had several PBS programs in Illinois and Missouri that have come to visit the museum to showcase the goofy things that we have there on display.
Well, tell us a little bit about the start of the museum itself. It started actually with you writing a book about goats, Three Frenchmen and a Goat, if I remember correctly.
Which is an odd, three Frenchmen and a goat walk into a bar? Is that what you're, is this where we're going with this?
Sounds like an old Henny Youngman or Rodney Dangerfield joke, doesn't it? Actually, my interest in this is because of my mother. She worked at DeMolins for 50 years. She was a seamstress there, and her hobby was her work. She collected a lot of DeMolins stuff. She got me involved in all of this 18 years ago. And in 2004, at her encouragement, I self-published a book on the history of the company called Three Frenchmen and a Goat, The DeMolin Brothers Story. And from that, this crazy saga really started to grow. It led to the opening of the museum in 2010. About 95% of the things that you'll see on display are from the personal collection that my mother and I compiled up until the point where she passed away in 2007, and I inherited the collection and continued on with our dream of having a museum.
Can you tell us, because you are the curator here, can you properly spell DeMolin and your website for us? We've got a couple listeners who are asking, how do you spell this?
Okay, it's D-E-M-O-U-L-I-N. It is French. The DeMolin family immigrated to America from France in the 1840s, but it is DeMolin, D-E-M-O-U-L-I-N, and that is DeMolinMuseum.org is our website. And then if you search under Facebook or Instagram for DeMolin Museum, you'll find us there too.
I have another question. It looks like, is this some sort of a medical device I found here in your museum, a lung tester?
Oh, I would love to try that out on you gentlemen sometime.
I think you have.
Okay.
I have been the recipient of some of these. I've been at the museum.
Oh,
yes.
You have?
Oh,
okay.
I have, yes.
All right. Well, there is something here called a DeMolin patented lung tester.
The lung tester was a popular seller for the company. It was an initiation device that was administered to a person wanting to join. And the premise was that we need to test your health. We need to test your lungs to make sure that you're healthy and don't have any communicable diseases of any kind, tuberculosis or something else we should be concerned of. And so the gentleman would sit in front of this contraption, that it's a box on a stand that has a mouthpiece, and it has a gauge on the front, and you would blow into the mouthpiece supposedly to check your lungs, and when you did, it would shoot flour in your face, and it fired a blank cartridge.
Wow. So where do you get these contraptions?
They come from all over the United States. In the early years, when my mom and I first got started into collecting this stuff, we really had to search long and hard to find the items. But over the years, and especially in the 8 years since the museum opened, the things tend to find us. We get emails and phone calls on a pretty regular basis from people who are cleaning out an attic or a barn or an old lodge. They find something that belonged to their grandfather, and those items will get back to us. We're quite fortunate that the factory did a remarkable job of tagging the things that they made. And so people will find a label, they'll go online, they'll find a DeMolin Museum, and they'll contact us. I was mentioning to you folks off air that we were contacted within the last couple of weeks by a gentleman in West Virginia who had found a DeMolin piece in an old Elks Lodge, and it's a piece that we had not seen before other than in their catalogs. So so we're really excited about maybe the possibility of that piece coming back to Greenville and being showcased at the museum.
And you've mentioned different lodges. Now, back in around the turn of the century, the early 1900s, late 1800s, there were a lot of different kinds of lodges, probably more so than what we have now. What different lodges did they supply furniture for?
About anybody that you can, on the furniture side, about anybody that you can imagine. And as you said, there were probably hundreds of fraternal organizations that existed in America through the early 1900s. And so on the furniture side, you know, they did the trick stuff. They did the trick chair and the surprise chair, but they also made real furniture for churches and lodges all around the United States.
Any famous people, have they ever been interested in some of the things that the Mullen Museum has both found and the Mullen brothers once created?
Excellent question, and the answer would be yes. One of our friends that we have is a gentleman named Mike Zone, and Mike was featured on a television show a few years ago on the Science Channel called Oddities. And it was about a store that he owns in Brooklyn, New York. And Mike is a collector of De Mullen items, and he even visited the museum a couple of years ago and did an autograph signing there for us. I also learned recently that David Byrne from the Talking Heads is a person
interested in
De Mullen stuff. And the biggest one, of course, is David Copperfield, the world-famous illusionist. And he has a vast collection of De Mullen initiation devices, and he's been collecting for probably, 15 to 20 years as well.
That's interesting stuff. Does he have anything, because I know that you've seen some of his stuff, does he have anything that you guys are like, wow, we would love to have that, or I'd never seen that before?
Yes, there is a couple of pieces. I know there's one piece in particular that he has that we do not have, and I think it's true that we maybe have a piece or two that he does not have.
Oh, cool.
But I did have the opportunity a few years ago to go out to Las Vegas and see the bulk of his collection there, and that was a very enjoyable evening, having the chance to talk to him and look at the pieces in his collection and talk about them. There have been a few instances where he's purchased a piece, had some questions about it, and I've been able to answer those questions. And really, one of the most enjoyable projects took place a few years ago when he called and asked if we would help provide some research and assistance for the TV show American Restoration.
Oh, wow.
Rick Dale and his crew from that TV show were restoring two of David's De Mullen Lodge initiation devices. And so we provided a little bit of research for them on that project, which was pretty cool.
That is very cool. Well, he's been known to make things like the Statue of Liberty disappear, so be careful if he shows up at the museum. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue on the other side of the break with John Goldsmith from the De Mullen Museum. That is pronounced De Mullen and spelled D-E-M-O-U-L-I-N. And you can find them online at demullenmuseum.org. You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's Van Morrison on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Little Domino. It is 9:37. We're talking with John Goldsmith from the De Mullen Museum in my little hometown of Greenville, mm-hmm. Illinois. And that is spelled D-E-M-O-U-L-I-N. You can find them on the web at demullenmuseum.org. John, where are you located in Little Greenville, Illinois?
Well, first, Greenville is located on Interstate 70, so I know a lot of people travel I-70 going from east to west or vice versa through the heartland of America, and Greenville is located about 45 minutes from downtown St. Louis. So whichever direction you're heading on 70, just jump off one of Greenville's two exits, and we can be found at 205 South Prairie Street in Greenville, and that is actually our new location.
Yep.
We just opened up 3 weeks ago. We had outgrown our other building because we continued to add artifacts, but also because we were getting some pretty large-sized tour buses coming in, and it was getting difficult to squeeze 50 to 60 people in the building that we were in. So we purchased over the winter an 1882-era church, and we've renovated that. It is the perfect home for the supreme wackiness of the Des Moines Museum. But we are easy to find on Interstate 70 if you're heading through the Midwest, and you can check out our website for the hours, or you can give us a heads up if you need a special tour. I'm sure we could work something out.
And one of the things that is really pretty cool about this museum is that it's not just one where you go in and you look at stuff. John, you actually, you've got your own sort of show, your demonstration of the tools and the artifacts that are there. So you've got a nice little stage now that you can do that on.
We try to be as interactive as we can, and that's one of the reasons we're a popular museum for kids. They like to come in and interact with some of the devices that we have. And, we try to be as hands-on as we can. It's not a dry, stuffy place. It can't be. You know, if you're dealing with spanking machines and things that shoot water and shoot flour or shock you, then it can't be stuffy. It's got to be interactive and fun, and that's the hope, is that we can take history and make it something very hands-on and memorable.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of history, you know, I grew up there in Greenville. I was in the marching band, and our band uniforms came from Des Moines Company, as most folks did. Now, they've had some pretty popular, famous band uniform orders, haven't they?
They have. In the 1990s, they made the band uniforms for the Olympic band.
Oh, wow.
And those uniforms were made in 1992, and the Olympic band then performed all around for about 4 years leading up to the Olympics there in Atlanta. And that was a big project, and that's one of the things we're looking forward to doing a display on. We haven't had the room or the opportunity to do that, but now with our new home, we have made contact with a member of that 96 Olympic band, and she will be working with us this year on getting a couple of the uniforms and some photos and putting together a display to tell that story. A couple of years ago, whenever the Super Bowl was in, I think it was in Indianapolis, and Madonna performed the halftime show, you might remember there was a 100-piece marching band that came out during her halftime performance. That was a special band uniform made by Des Moines specifically for the halftime, Super Bowl halftime, and CeeLo Green performed in a band uniform made by Des Moines. And I was told by the factory that that was not the largest band uniform they'd ever made, but it was pretty close.
Any opportunity that you can get your hands on any of those?
That's on my wish list of things that we would love to find, is one of the uniforms that was used during that halftime performance. A couple other people that are famous that were customers, excuse me, of Des Moines, back in the 1930s, Tom Mix, who had been a legendary silent film cowboy star, had transitioned into having his own circus, and Des Moines made outfits for him and for his circus in the 1930s. And another circus performer they made outfits for was Mabel Stark, and she was a tiger tamer. So they've done some pretty unusual things in their 126 years.
And right now their primary focus is on band uniforms, right?
Yeah, it is the band uniforms, and they are still cranking out band uniforms on a daily basis. They also do show choir apparel, and about 20 years ago, they added logo wear for companies like John Deere and Caterpillar and Case and companies like that. So, you know, you don't stick around for 126 years if you're not able to diversify, if you're not able to see opportunities in a market, and that's how you stay afloat for that long.
So, again, if you're traveling around, you're making the trip back north, if you're a snowbird, or if you're just bored and want to wander your way from northwest Florida up to Greenville, Illinois, it's an interesting trip. There's no straight way to get there. But you can stop by just off of Interstate 70, going east and west. You can stop by the Des Moines Museum. Don't be afraid to contact them, especially if you have something you found somewhere in an attic or a barn or, you know, wherever. And it would belong to grandma, grandpa, dad, mom, whoever, and it has the Des Moines name on it, and you don't know what to do with it, contact John Goldsmith at the Des Moines Museum. That's D-E-M-O-U-L-I-N. And you can find him online, demolinmuseum.org, and links there to Facebook and all of that. John, thank you. Thank you for...
It was a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to share the story. We have a lot of fun at the museum. It's a labor of love. And I want to say we're very blessed to have some fantastic volunteers. If you're familiar with trying to run a not-for-profit, and especially a museum, your lifeblood are the volunteers that you have. Our youngest one is a junior in high school, and our oldest one is in her upper 80s. And we have volunteers of all ages in between, and they're very devoted to what we do, and we couldn't do what we do without their assistance.
Well, thank you very much, John. And again, we're going to have this interview posted on our website, wkgc.org, and it's just an interesting place. You know, it's those little places like Greenville, Illinois, little small areas that have some interesting places like Des Moines Museum. Thank you, John.
Well, Scott, I think the next time that you're back in Greenville, we need to maybe get some video of you being initiated to share with your listeners.
And I'm surprised we don't already. I've been spanked by the spanking machine, and I know you shocked me with some other device, but I don't remember much about that.
I'm sure we can work something out.
I appreciate it, buddy. You have a good day. Stay warm up there.
Will do, and thanks again, everybody. It was a pleasure talking to you and your listeners today.
Thank you very much. DesMoinesMuseum.org. We've got a vinyl play of the day. Right now it's Atlanta Rhythm Section. This is Spooky on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's the Atlanta Rhythm Section on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC and Spooky.
That is one of the greatest guitar sounds you'll ever run into. It
yes.
really is.
It's a great band. I love the Atlanta Rhythm Section. I understand they're from Atlanta.
I had heard that, but it might be a rumor, too.
Maybe they're from Chicago. Chicago's from Atlanta. What's the difference?
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. We've got a vinyl play, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not going to tease this one real hard because this is...
Can I tell why we're doing a vinyl play?
You can. I'm a little confused about that.
You're confused every day.
Are you confused about that anymore?
Why are we doing a vinyl play?
Yeah, see, Brandon
exactly.
is too.
See, really, we're doing a vinyl play of the day because we're the only radio station in this area playing vinyl. I'm pretty confident in that anyway.
I certainly don't.
That's not the only reason, though.
Some of the radio stations around here might be playing vinyl, but they're playing it from their headquarters, which could be, you know, halfway across the country.
That's true. But we're local, and we're playing it right here, mm-hmm. and we like it.
Yeah, we are local.
We chose to do it.
We are local.
Yes.
And not to make too large a point of that, but we're also listener-supported radio.
We are indeed, and that leads right into why we're also doing the vinyl play of the day.
It does indeed.
We have a ton of vinyl that we have in our vinyl vault.
There might be more than a ton. Actually, a ton's only 2,000 pounds.
I bet there's more than that.
There might be more than that.
We have a lot. We have blues, jazz, soul, funk, a lot of classical, and some really oddball things.
There's some stuff that just defies description. Yes. And or categorization.
Exactly. And as part of our grassroots membership drive, when you support public radio, we are offering you the opportunity, based on your level of support, to come in and pluck through as many of our albums as that level requires. Mm-hmm. So you can walk out with 6, 10, 15, 100 albums, and find out more about it on our website, wkgc.org, and go to the Pledge Now tab. And when you do, let us know that you want to be a part of the vinyl giveaway. Just put vinyl giveaway in the comments. We'd love to know what are your favorite programs or favorite DJ. Hint, hint. Just saying. We'd love to know what you think about what we're doing program-wise.
Yeah, I really like Moselle Washington.
Oh, man, he's good.
He is good. So. He
brings the three of the best hours of jazz music you find anywhere
that
this side
true.
Of Venus.
Yep.
And that's coming up at 12 noon. So, you know, we don't care.
Okay.
But support public radio. We've been doing it since 1975, WKGC.org. Tom, the vinyl play of the day.
The vinyl play of the day. This is the second recording of this by this particular artist. First one was in 1963. Was recorded in Columbia Studios in New York. This one was recorded in Nashville on an album called Nashville Skyline. And here we go with Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Girl from the North Country.
This is the vinyl play of the day on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC.
If you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there, for she once was a true love of mine. See for me that her hair's hanging down. It curls and falls all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging down. That's the way I remember her best. If you go when the snowflakes fall, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, please see for me if she's wearing a coat so warm to keep her from the howling. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, when the winds hit heavy on the borderline, please say hello to one who lives there. For she was once a true love of mine. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. True love of mine. A true love of mine. A true love of mine. True love of mine. A true love of mine. A true love of mine. She was once a true love of mine.
That's our vinyl play of the day.
Sorry about the scratches on that.
It is very vinyl.
It is very vinyl. That has been with me since high school. So it's led a long, tough life, many thousands of miles and many hundreds of plays. And from the scratches, I would say possibly was played during during a party or two.
You think?
Yeah, I think. Maybe. But two of my favorite artists.
Mine too.
Yeah, not really agreeing on, as we say, what key, what rhythm, or even what octave we were working in. But
melody was optional.
Melody.
But when you're Johnny Cash and or Bob Dylan, you can get away
everything's
with it.
Optional.
That's right.
But anyway, fun play. And if you don't have it, Nashville Skyline is a great, great record.
Absolutely. Well, we are coming up on 10 o'clock. We've got more music on the way. Tomorrow we've got another vinyl play of the day. We've got more folks in. We might mention next week is spring break, so we don't have any guests in the studio. Producer Brandon, though, is going to be here helping us out with some national tournament basketball for the Lady Commodores.
That's right. We're doing, they're off to Lubbock
yes,
at the end of the week.
And I want to say we have a county commission meeting as well.
I believe we do.
I believe
Friday.
So.
Yes.
Yes.
Either that or we would be listening to it right now.
That's right. So it'll be producer. We're going to work producer Brandon a little
good.
Bit over spring break.
He needs to work. It's good
I'm getting
for
out of here.
Builds character.
I'm out.
You're gone.
I'm out. Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally gone. So there you have it.
Well,
Brandon will be in charge.
Have fun. Knowing you, have fun. Don't jump overboard.
I will do my best.
Okay.
But that's next week. We're coming up on 10 o'clock. We've got Boston, Little Steven. We've got Mike Daughtry and Patty Loveless and more coming your way. And we'll round out this hour of music, take you up to 10 o'clock with Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. This is Ol' McDonald here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC.